Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. I'm delighted that you're tuning in for this, my first proper episode on the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. You know, I thought long and hard about what to have for the first episode, and I came across recently a quote that stopped me dead in my tracks by the great American author and speaker, Brené Brown. The quote was, "When did exhaustion become a status symbol?" So if you think about it, so many of us are going around with various degrees of tiredness from Monday to Sunday. And for many of us, that brings us into the territory of work-life balance, you know, a topic that we all speak about, but maybe we forget what it's actually about deep down. You know, maybe the old phrase for it is work-life balance. In recent times, I've been using the phrase work-life blend, and I'll speak more about why that's still relevant. But for me at the minute with work-life balance, I really think of it as work-life mode. You know, the way on our phones, we have an airplane mode. Sometimes we need to have that awareness of different mode changes when it comes to work and personal life. It is often said that we teach what we need to learn, and there is a sense of irony in that my first topic here is work-life balance, because it is an area that I consistently have to work on myself. You know, I came across a phrase recently, or a little quote recently, and for those of you who know me know I love quotes, but this one I think was an anonymous source, where it said, "Working hard for something you don't care about is stress. Working hard for something you do care about is passion." You know, so when you're loving what you're doing, I think work-life balance can become even more of a challenge, because it's difficult for you to switch off. It certainly is for me. But I remember speaking to a person, oh gosh, a good few years ago, and I remember them saying to me that even though, you know, I love what I do, we are still more than what it is we do. And of course, one of my phrases in this area is, we're human beings, we're not human doings. And that's something that's also at play when we look at work-life balance. Before I share some practical tips with you, you know, little strategies that will help you rebalance that work-life balance, a few broad observations to start with, because this whole topic has changed dramatically in recent years. First and foremost, for the vast majority of us, work is no longer a physical location. You know, so whilst we might have environments associated with work, if you're anything like me, you carry a device around with you known as your mobile phone, and that is something between a mobile office and worry beads. You know, I'm never more than 2 feet away from mine. I don't know if it's ever actually switched off. You know, it might be recharging in the corner at nighttime whilst I'm recharging with my head on the pillow. And of course, maybe if I'm on a plane, it goes into aeroplane mode, which is a nice analogy for work-life balance. And again, I'll speak about that in a little while. Of course, it is technology that has fueled the challenges in this area. Maybe coinciding with that heightened sense of expectations that we have nowadays around customer service. You know, in the past, and I'm probably old enough to remember when we used to get our post in the morning, you know, in a work environment, you used to get it at 11 o'clock and you got your post the next day. Whereas nowadays, every time you get an item of post, it's like a bell whistles and a light flashes and you get a new item into your inbox. Email, of course, being a to-do list that someone else is writing for you. But that's probably for another topic. We have these expectations of immediacy. You know, even from a productivity point of view, in the past, it was around multitasking, whereas in recent times, that multitasking has even drifted into continuous partial attention, which is something else that is a challenge when we're looking at productivity and broader effectiveness. For me, a key distinction with work-life balance, though, or work-life blend, whatever phrase we put on it, is that it's not just about work and personal life. There has to be the segment that I phrase as just me, so that there is elements of my own energy, my own resourcing, what I'm able to commit to or to devote to those two aspects of my life, work and personal life. Something else that's at play as well is the Einstein quote. You know, Einstein said, "Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you have to keep pushing forward." And work-life balance is like that. It's like we have to keep pushing forward with it. It's almost like a moment-to-moment decision. And I'll have a few little questions that help us stay focused on that a little later. Of course, when we're looking at that sense of being off balance, or that our work-life balance is not as equitable as we would like it to be. How do we know? Well, it's our emotions that tell us, you know, that inner sense of GPS or our inner barometer, as it were. You know, so if I'm feeling stressed or overwhelmed or frustrated, it's often an indication that that little, you know, seesaw of balance is a little bit out of kilter and I'm looking for something that's more equitable. Okay, so now it's time for me to share some practical tips with you, a few little distinctions or insights that perhaps you can try out that will help you readjust that balance. Of course, I always think it's usually the case here when we talk about work-life balance that for most of us, we're looking to put more attention, more energy, more focus into personal life. It's rare. I don't think I've come across someone as yet who's looking to rebalance work-life balance in the opposite direction. But anyway, tip number one, if we're looking for more of anything or if we're looking for anything different in any area, we have to contemplate what it is we're actually seeking. And here it's about visualizing what a better work-life balance would look like for you. You know, it's the old adage of maybe the dart thrower trying to hit a treble 20 and not knowing where the dartboard is. You know, everything that we create in life, everything that we've achieved, usually starts off as an idea in our head. You know, if I'm not able to think about what I want to be different here or what I want to move towards, it's difficult for it to come about. It's almost like, how do I define success? Of course, sometimes to figure out what it is we do want, the obvious starting place is to identify what we don't want or what I want less of. And often in this area, in the short term at least, it's not about revolutionary steps, it's about evolution. I like to use the phrase wiggle room. You know, I'm just trying to find a little bit of wiggle room that perhaps allows me to find that more equitable balance. The second tip is around boundaries and controlling our contactability. You know, this is the area that I think goes to the heart of, for want of a better phrase, a healthy, fulfilling work-life balance. Most of us operate a degree of people pleasing. And, you know, that sense of being open and approachable and friendly and helpful is something that we never want to get rid of. But it's often the case where, you know, too much of anything is not so good. And whilst there's no such thing as black and white or, you know, absolute rights or wrongs here, we are looking at, how would I say it, navigating those shades of grey, as it were, so that I'm a little bit clearer as to what I will tolerate, what I won't tolerate, where I can compromise, where I won't compromise. For me, one of the concepts at the heart of boundaries, particularly in terms of interacting with people, is that whole golden rule of relationships, working and personal, which is we train or we teach people how to treat us. You know, I was having a conversation with a group last week as part of a leadership workshop I was facilitating. And, you know, one person in the group said that, you know, if he gets an email at 10 o'clock at night, he feels he has to respond to it. Now, as I say, there's no rights or wrongs with this, you know, but one, if you're reading emails at 10 o'clock at night and then two, responding to them, what message is that communicating? Well, it's okay for me to get an email at that time because I will respond to it. You know, we set a precedent. It goes to the heart of carrying our mobile offices around with us, as it were. Sometimes we just have to establish rules for ourselves. Think of it like that work life or airplane mode. You know, I'm in personal life mode now. That is switched off. The third tip when it comes to work-life balance is acknowledging that third dimension to it. So not just work, not just personal life, but what I phrase as just me. So it's the energy and the focus and the time that I have for fueling myself, for resourcing myself, as it were. And sometimes we can forget that it's important to invest in ourselves. You know, one of the themes of this podcast in future episodes will be around self-care and well-being, because it's something that is the foundation of many aspects of personal development or leadership, whatever phrase we put on it. And so often we have to battle guilt when it comes to this, you know, so it's easy for me to say I'm doing that for someone else, but sometimes it's difficult to acknowledge that I'm just doing something for ourselves. So one of the things that I always ensure as much as possible is that my own well-being at least appears on my own agenda. And that means putting an item on my to-do list that is about fueling my soul, as I would call it. And that might be simple things like, well, the sun is shining, can I get the dog out for a walk? You know, can I meet a friend for a cup of coffee over lunch? You know, can I just do something that I know energizes me as a result of doing it? So it's not just something that's left over when the commitments to others have been fulfilled. As humans, we are habit-forming creatures. You know, we form habits and routines wherever we are. Homeostasis, I think, is the Greek word for it. Interestingly, a future episode is going to be about comfort zones and habits, and more about that on a future date. But we have what I would phrase rituals when it comes to how we organize ourselves, how we start the working day, maybe how we close the working day, or how we don't. But one of the things that I've been working in a more focused way on in recent times is having a ritual for closing the working day. It's almost like, you know, I'm switching now from work mode into personal life mode. And here's a few tips that have worked for me. I'll take a moment, maybe just a split second. I might think it, sometimes I might write it, of just one or two things that I've done well during the working day. You know, most of the time we finish the day by looking at the to-do list and figuring out, oh my God, somehow there's more on it than there was when I started, but yet I've been busy for 8 hours. And we can, you know, we can have regrets or frustrations around what we didn't get done or achieved. But there will always be one or two things that we did well. You know, whether it's you've lent someone a listening ear, whether you got something completed, you know, whether you dealt with an urgency. Just to acknowledge something that you did well as a way of giving ourselves a little bit of recognition and maybe acknowledging a sense of achievement as well. I will then also get clear as to what my priorities are or what my musts are for the following day. So it's like maybe it's a revision of the to-do list, but it's like today is completed. Now this is what I'm going to be focusing on tomorrow. One of the things that I do when I'm in the car, say at the end of a working day, and this works really well if you have a commute, is that maybe you have a piece of music that you purposely put on. For me, it's something on Lyric, you know, or it's a relaxing piece of classical music, something that just symbolizes, you know, is an auditory prompt, as it were, or anchor that now I'm moving into personal life mode. So we're almost there. The last tip, tip number five, and I alluded to it earlier, was this sense of work-life balance being a moment-by-moment decision. You know, think of it like autopilot on a plane. You know, an autopilot is just not frozen controls. It's acknowledging all of the different variables and is responding accordingly, second by second. For me, when I'm feeling, you know, stressed, overwhelmed, frustrated, you know, those heavier type of emotions. And as I mentioned earlier, emotions are the indicator of where we are on our work-life balance scale. When I'm feeling that way, I will then ask myself the question, okay, what's my priority right now? You know, the word priority comes from the Latin, I think it is, a priori, meaning the most important. So strictly speaking, you cannot have more than one priority. So in the moment, what is my priority? And that's a useful question in those scenarios when, you know, say you're at home, but your head is at work, or, you know, you're at work, but your head is at home, sort of thinking you should be somewhere else. You know, that question, okay, what's my priority, gets us focused into the present moment. And when we ask ourselves that question over a period of time, what it does is it trains us to be a little bit more present. You know, so our head is not in the past, or it's not worrying about the future. And sometimes we need those little questions that just help us navigate those shades of grey, as I always say. So as we move towards close of this first episode, invite you to contemplate over the next week or 2 weeks, what's something you could do more of or do less of that would enable you to rebalance that sense of work-life balance. You know, I used to use the phrase, let's set ourselves a little challenge, but in recent times, I much prefer the word commitment. You know, let me make a commitment to myself that over the next week or 2 weeks, I'm going to consciously put effort into doing more of something or doing less of something. It's like a little promise I'm making to myself. So by way of quick recap, you know, those five tips, first of all, consider what a better work-life balance would look like to you. You know, we have to think about it first before we can ever bring it into creation. Then there's the piece around boundaries and controlling our contactability. You know, maybe in a very practical sense, you are deciding that I'm not going to be contactable between the hours of 7 and 9 at night. You know, you set a boundary and you work on keeping it. It might be a bit of a challenge, but, you know, we work on taking some new action. The third one was around that piece of awareness of just me time. You know, what am I going to do to fuel myself so I have more energy to give to those other aspects of my life? Fourth one was those rituals. Remember having a set way of closing the working day, you know, to shift into that work-life mode, switch that work-life mode button as a way of having that boundary. And then the last one was acknowledging that work-life balance is not a static event. You know, if you think of it as a straight line, that's a bit like flatlining. It's fluid and it happens moment by moment, just like the autopilot on a plane. Two additional insights to contemplate by way of close. One is around that sense of yearning for a more equitable work-life balance. It's not just about refueling ourselves or, you know, re-energizing ourselves from a place of tiredness or exhaustion. Sometimes it can be, of course. But what I found is it gives us that sense of connecting with our own inner wisdom. You know, it's often around taking that time out to just be a little quieter so we can hear our own intuition. It brings us into the territory of maybe doing less but being more. Lastly, that gap between the state of, you know, frustration or overwhelm or frustration that we often feel when work-life balance is maybe out of sync, that's an indication that we've drifted from our best self state. That's a phrase I like to use, you know, my best self when I'm in flow, when I'm, you know, on top of my game, as it were. And sometimes work-life balance, that emotional indicator, just gives me a prod or a nudge that life is trying to teach me a lesson here. And if I pay attention, maybe I'm open to receiving it. And of course, like everything in life, it's all about ebb and flow, up and down, in and out, yin and yang. It's always about progression in a direction. So I hope you've enjoyed tuning in to this first full episode on Your Time with James Sweetman. And I look forward to sharing some more tips with you on future episodes. Of course, if you have found this of benefit, I would love if you can subscribe or maybe pass word on to some of your friends and colleagues who might find it of benefit. Or if you've any comments or questions to ask, please make a review. So thanks again for tuning in, and until next time.